Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Jen Lowry Writes. Tonight I am so honored to be sitting here with Brendan Kumarasamy. Guys, he is the founder of Master Talk. Welcome, Brendan.
Jen, the pleasure and the honor is absolutely mine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I love it because today we're going to talk about something that every author needs to learn more about, and that is the art of storytelling and communicating when you are presenting and speaking with others about your work. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and I know that my readers are my viewers and listeners, they're going to be really thrilled to hear the tips that you have to share. So yes, he has a website, Master Talk. Yes, he has a YouTube, but before we get into all of that, Brendan, tell everybody a little bit more about you.
Yeah, for sure, Jen. So I grew up in a city called Montreal in Canada. That's where I'm based. I come to the US quite a bit, but that's where I'm born and raised. And my whole life I struggled my entire education speaking a language I didn't know. So for those that don't know, Montreal is a language, Jen, sorry, Montreal is a city that you need to know how to speak French, which is a language I didn't know. So every time I would go up to first grade, second grade presentations, I'd look at the kids and go, "Ah, bonjour." And that was my life growing up as a kid. Bunch of other different challenges along the way, but skipping forward, how Master Talk came to be. I went to business school, studied in accounting, which is literally the opposite of what I do today. And then as I got older, I started competing in case competitions. Think professional sports for nerds. So while the guys my age were like playing rugby or football, I was doing presentations. That's how I learned how to speak, and I accidentally got good at coaching.
Oh, accidentally or purpose-driven call on your life, and you just happen to find it doing something you actually loved. I'm gonna say that, not by accident.
I think I'm learning in this conversation not to argue with you. So let's go with
Yeah. Yeah,
that.
should you argue with the host? Is this a debate? Nah, no debates here. Just really happy to have you here. Really short storytelling on my part is my dad decided he was gonna put us in the car and we were gonna drive to Canada. And we live in North Carolina and he just wanna take a road trip. And we get there and everyone is speaking French and he does not know this and he was not aware of this. And we went to this underground mall and he said, okay, this is about all that we can take. Let's get back in the car. And we drove all the way back home. Hours in Canada because everyone was speaking French. And this was prior to the days of like, oh, let's internet search and Google and let's learn more about it. He was like, let's just go. I've always wanted to go. And yeah, 3 hours. So yeah, my dad had a 3 hour, well, it wasn't a 3 hour trip, but it was a 3 hour stay with us. So that's my experience with Canada. So welcome. And talk to me a little bit more. You said accounting was what you went to school for. Presentations are and public speaking and coaching is what you do now. So, what was that like branching off on your own for that first time and going into these waters of coaching? How did all of that come to be?
And a lot of us, Jen, though you might disagree with me, was an accident. So I started making videos, though it might be divine timing too, so I'll give you some credit there. But what happened was, at the last my last semester of college, I had probably coached 60 or 70 people on how to speak, but I never made a dollar doing it. I never knew it was a profession or people did this for a living, because I had a great job at IBM waiting for me. I worked there as a consultant there for in technology. So I was getting paid really well. I wasn't thinking this was going to be a business. I mostly just did Master Talk as a hobby. It was like, oh, I'm just going to make these free videos for people who can't afford like a coach, and that was all this was going to be. But then 9 months into Master Talk, I meet my business partner, who's 20 years older than me. I meet him in Columbus, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. I was
Was
attending an event. Go
okay. I was
ahead.
just saying, was it a conference? Like you're in
Yeah.
the middle of nowhere. It's not like you're just taking a road trip to Ohio just because you felt like it, right? Like you really had a purpose
Definitely not Ohio. You're right. There's a guy I follow in the podcasting space. His name's Lewis Howes. He's the host of the School of Greatness podcast, and I've been following him since for years. So I wanted to meet the guy. He's like my hero. So that's why I went to Columbus, and I meet Vamsi there, who's my business partner, and he's the one who said, "You know, Brendan, you could charge thousands of dollars to people and coach them how to speak." And I was 23 at the time, Jen. I was like, "Come on, Vamsi. Like, don't like. Maybe I could charge $50, $3,000, $5,000. You're crazy." He ended up being right. So that's what ended up happening, and I changed my life course. I quit IBM after a few years, and I went all in into this, and here we are.
So there's something on your website. There's a couple of things that really stood out to me, just in how you have that opening page about the direction and the mission of what you do, and that is to help people have a sense of joy as they are approaching communication, the art of communication, instead of it being a burden. And I have met many authors, and I'm included in this, who say we're introverted. And being able to put ourselves out there into these public spaces can sometimes be intimidating. And I say just go after it with joy because your book stands before you. It's not you, it's your book, it's your mission, it's your work, it's your life's work poured your heart into this work. But you have to still be able to communicate that and get out there. So you say something about securing quick wins. And I'm thinking, okay, we got to know one of these quick wins. Can you share like a tip, like right now, for a quick win?
I mean, I could give you 10, but I
Oh,
think the
let's start with one.
yeah, I would say the biggest one, and it's more of a message than we get into the tip. So I'll do the mindset and then the tip. The mindset, Jen, and my coach tells me this all the time, especially in the context of authors. The goal is not just to be the best author in the world. The goal is to be the best-selling author. Because if you write the best book in the world but nobody reads it, did it really make an impact? Right? It'll just stay on the shelf. So that's why it's so important for us to understand both sides of the equation. Of course, the craftsmanship of writing a great book, telling a great story is one piece to the puzzle, but the other piece is saying, I need to share this book with other people, or else how will they know it even exists to read
Yes,
it?
love it. And so by sharing that, then you're talking about speaking engagements, contacting, places for events and conferences and connecting with people. So that mindset, let's talk more about mindset because I believe that that positive feeling around all these words that we're calling out have to live in this space for people to take that risk because there is some courage building there that they have to do before they start reaching out and doing that. So talk to me a little bit more about mindset.
Absolutely, Jen. You know, for me, there's a great quote by Ali Gaddet that I think really applies here, which is, if you help one person, the world will give you permission to help everyone else. So for me, it's not b about going, hey, let's go apply for a big conference. Let's go do that. Instead, it's more about saying, who is the one person in my life that I feel this book will really resonate with? And you share it with that person. You start with one. And then you just keep doubling. And by the way, from one, if you double 20 times, you hit a million. So then the next step is to go to two people. Okay, we shared it with one person. Let's get their feedback. Let's go to two. Then four. So we're not even talking about 4 million people. We're really talking to just four
Four
people.
people.
That's it, just four people. And then eight, then 16. And then the next step, in my opinion, is whoever buys your book, and it doesn't need to be a million people, the 16 people who buy your book, the 72 people who buy your book. Send them each a 20-second video message to just say, hey, Jen, thanks so much for buying my book. I really appreciate it. Let me know what your biggest takeaway is. I'd love to jump on a Zoom call and get to know you more and see what you got out of the book. And if you really build a relationship with your fans like I just did, and it doesn't cost you anything, that's the best part. Even if your video is horrible, they'll be shocked. They're like, I never received video messages. And then they'll share your book with 20 of their friends.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Because you're not talking about going out and trying to book the cruise conference. You're talking about one person, which is very digestible for our audience right now to think about. Because first, that first person can be yourself in front of a mirror, like pitching it to you, like talking about your book, like talk about your book, record yourself talking about your book. So that's the one person because you've also got to believe in that message too before you spill that out to someone else. So I love that one. Find the one. And now I've got to go back and watch the video again so now I can get your quote because your quote that you did share with us is very powerful and I was listening intently and not writing. So now I'm going to have to go back and listen to my own podcast so I can get that quote because Brendan, that one was golden. That was a golden line right there.
I'm happy to repeat it. So the quote is, if you help one person, So if you help one person, the world will give you permission to help everyone else. Remember, Jen, I started Mass Talk when I was a 22-year-old kid in my mother's basement. I had no money. I had a cell phone. That's all I had to make videos. I had a bachelor's degree in accounting. I have a crooked left arm because of a disability I had when I was a kid. Who in the world am I to share videos with people on communication? But I did it for the 15-year-old girl who can't afford a communication coach. That's what really motivated me to do this. Yeah, sure, turned to a business after, and it created all this magic in my life that I'm super grateful for. But it really started with that. I was like, well, other communication coaches don't really care about that 15-year-old girl. So even if in my mom's basement I don't have all the answers, I might as well do something, because even my videos who aren't that good, well, they're better than nothing for the world. So I might as well start there.
See, I love that. And that was a risk and that was courage. And then how did it feel? Tell me how that felt.
Absolutely. So at the beginning, it felt really scary. Right? You're like, oh my God. It took me a month actually before I posted my first video. So
Oh, come on, Brendan, a whole
I
month.
swear. I swear. I
Did
swear.
you go back and edit it? Did you listen to it? Did you try to take it down or did you just leave it be, hands off?
Yeah, so what happened was, in my case, and it was really embarrassing because at that point I was already one of the best speakers in the country, right? I'd won all of these case competitions, so I still waited a month before posting, which isn't good advice that I share today. So basically, I
No,
make
it's honest and it's real and it's where people may be and they'll hear your story. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Absolutely. So anyways, I make this video, Jen, and I didn't even know how to edit videos. Actually, the first year I didn't edit a single video, and then I went straight professional. I start hiring people. But the first year was literally like I took out a phone, I started making video. So I make this video, and it's horrible. And it's still up, by the way, my first YouTube video. So like, hey
Wow.
guys, yeah, this is Master Doc, and I have this idea. It's bad. And I'm on this couch, like it's actually right there, the couch. And then after that, what happens is I wait a month and I show it to five of my friends. And my five friends are being nice to me because they see I have a little weakness. They go, oh, this video is really good. You should post it. And I go, really?
Yay.
You should totally post it. Just keep posting one every week. And that's what they
Yay
did.
for friends. Yay
Yeah.
for friends in your life. Shout out to those people that encourage us and give us that additional support that we need. So, yeah, shout out to your friends right now. So, now that you're here, you've told us one tip. Okay, I'm ready. So, let's say an author has this really great book. And they don't have anybody to share it with. And they then said, okay, I'm going to get out on social media because I really don't have that one person. But maybe I can do social media. Maybe I can make a video. Maybe I can be on TikTok or wherever readers may be. What do you say to that person about going that route when they may not physically have someone in their face, but they have that potential to meet that one person?
Absolutely, Jen. So the advice will change based on whether you're a fiction author or you're nonfiction. So I'll ask you the question back. Are most of your audience a mix of both, or
I would,
is it
well,
one category?
my audience here at Jen Lowry Writes is going to be a mix. The authors that I work with, the authors I coach, or the authors that are in my company, they're all fiction authors. So wherever you feel led to talk, we're here to
Yeah.
listen.
For sure. Let's comment on both. So let me start with the easy win, which is nonfiction. So you're writing a book on a how-to guide, a business book, something educational related, which is my expertise. So the advice there is actually a lot easier on social media. It's a framework called QIT. So QIT is questions, insights, titles. Questions, insights, titles. That's QIT. So Q is just questions. Questions just means write a bunch of questions that you feel people will ask you about your expertise. So let's say in my case, communication, right? People ask me a bunch of questions around communication. How do you overcome your fear of speaking? How do you get better posting content on social media? So they'll write a bunch of questions for me. How do you present in a second language? Then I is for insights. So that's where I'll book 30 minutes in my calendar, Jen, and I'll answer the question in a Word document. I might write like a 500-word blog, which is easy for authors to do because they're great at the written word, hence why they're author. So they'll write a blog, and I'm not that great at writing. I just force myself to write it. And then T stands for titles, which just means you take the question, let's say, how do you present in a second language? And you turn it into a video that is entitled How to Present in a Second Language. And that's how you do it in nonfiction. Very simple. But in fiction, you know what I would say a little bit differently? There's kind of a couple of different approaches and ideas that I'll have, and I'll let your audience pick what they like the most. The first one is to make social media content exploring the process that it took for you to write the book. How did you come up with the stories? What inspired you to create this chapter? Character breakdowns of the different elements, social commentary of what you think of your own book, interviewing other people who had read the book. So I'm just listing a bunch of what was your biggest take? What was your favorite chapter? Why was that? And it creates intrigue. Oh, wow. And it creates social proof as well. And also having friends of yours post on social media, what was the biggest three ahas they got from reading the book? And it doesn't need to be like a lesson if it's fiction. It could be, oh my God, like this story was so cool because of XYZ. So the idea here is not to implement all of the ideas. I'm just giving like seven, eight nuggets. And the key is to pick your favorite one and go, I like that, and implement that in your social media content.
Oh, I love it, y'all. Seriously, I've just taken a bunch of scribble notes. Love it, Brendan, because we're always talking about authentic engagement, but being out there. So I also encourage the authors that I work with to make those personal connections with people in their community. So, like, start small in community. So, give us some advice about just doing some cold calling or some pitching or like, okay, I need to try to set up these book talks or a library visit or a signing. Like, what kind of advice would you give them for like just cold calling or cold emailing to try to make connections with local community?
For sure, Jen. So I definitely wouldn't start with cold calling right away. That might be a little bit too stressful for your audience. You know what I would start with? Once again, the advice will be different for fiction, nonfiction. So for nonfiction, what I would say, super simple how you do this, you create a free workshop. So let's say I'm trying to sell, like when I write my book, and let's say 5 to 10 years, what I'm going to do is I'll do a free workshop. And at the end of the workshop, I'll just mention, hey guys, I have a new book coming out. If you enjoyed this workshop, I'm going to go through all of the details that I don't have time to cover in this 90 minute. And the book is like 10 bucks. So then what will happen is a bunch of them will go, oh, like, yeah, Brendan's workshop was amazing. I'll go buy the book. So that's
Love
an
it.
easy way to do it. And
That's
you
a
just
way to do
invite.
it. I'm sorry, I did not mean to
No, no.
interrupt you. Keep going.
No, you're all good. And totally fine, Jen. I just love your excitement, honestly. I love your energy. So what's nice about it is the free workshop goes, I want to come to a free workshop. And then at the end, most people love you and they love what you share and they'll want more, so they'll buy the book.
Okay, so I love that for fiction authors as well, because authors are also readers. And if you give a workshop on, for example, world building and fantasy, then you could see. So I'm thinking of it as that too for fiction authors, and then they could pull other author friends in and actually start, having some collaborations with some author folks out there. So I see the free workshop model as also relevant but exciting for our authors in the fiction world. So if you so let's stop before we move on to your idea about fiction workshop. How do you do a workshop? Are you just giving it free on YouTube? Are you posting it on your website? Like, what's your method of workshop development?
Absolutely, Jen. And to keep it really simple, it's just a Zoom call like the one we're on right now. It's just other people just attend the Zoom call. So instead of a conversation between you and me today, there's go and I actually do one every 2 weeks, even to this day. It's just for us, it's more the more expensive coaching package, but it'll work even better with a book. I mean, a $10 book is like, oh my God, like people will run after it. So what happens is if you do it consistently enough, like I've been doing it for 18 months now and I haven't missed, and I do it every 2 weeks consistently, live, by the way. So it's not a recording. It's like a
Oh.
live training. People come to it and it's a lot of fun and people go, wow, this is so cool. But what happens is you build trust a lot faster. And the key is not to overthink the workshop. Well, my first one sucked. Like it was terrible, right?
Brandon, you say these things, but I bet it was dynamic and real and just a great safe place for people to share and talk. So you say it's terrible, but I'm going ahead and telling you no, it was not terrible. You're
Once
doubting
again,
yourself here. Go ahead. I'm saying it's not terrible.
I've learned not to disagree with the host. But the key is I've gotten better over time. And the reason I say it that way is to give permission for people to start. Because the secret behind my workshops isn't really a secret. I just do the same workshop every time, Jen. That's why it just gets better and better and better and better. But the pro tip, I don't think I've seen any authors do this in the space. So if you're the person doing this, I mean, you're gonna have a huge advantage, which is you get people who b have bought the book that you have a relationship with had to invite their friends to your workshop. So what happens is, let's say I sell you on my book, Jen, and you love the book. I'll say, "Hey, Jen, I'm doing a workshop on the same topic. Can you invite 10 of your friends to it?" You'll say, "Yeah." And then those 10 friends will come to the workshop. They'll build a relationship with me. And then three of them or four of them at the end will end up buying my book too. But this keeps the cycle keeps improving. It goes two to four to eight. And then those three people invite another 10 people, and the cycle just keeps going. So that's kind of the way that I've been able to expand. And that I recommend for people. But I think something easy to start is just send video messages to people who read your books and have them share it with other people. And what often happens, Jen, is as the readership increases, you start to get opportunities that you didn't expect. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say I wrote a book and you read it, and long before this podcast, let's say we were just buddies, like we just knew each other from high school or something. And then you message me and you go, "Brendan, this book is so good. Why don't you come on my podcast and talk about it?" But you don't foresee those opportunities until later in your career, but you do it as you build community over time.
Right. I love it. Okay. You've shared the best tips. You can start with video. You can start small with those clips. You can also do Zoom conferences or workshops. Absolutely love these. Now, you were really talking nonfiction, so I think you've got something else in your mind about fiction.
Right. So for fiction, what I would say, because it's a little bit trickier, but I think for me, what stands out the best is very much the virality of the community. So I'll give an example that comes to mind in fiction. J.K. Rowling, right, with Harry Potter, because her fans are obsessed about the universe, including me. I'm not at the same level of a super fan, but of course I've seen all the movies and I've read all the books, which is a big thing for me because I don't read books. So like if I read the books, it's probably good. But because of that, it's a groundswell. So that community then created so many opportunities for J.K. Rowling. It's not the fact that Disneyland created a universe for Harry Potter before the books. It was because the demand for that service was so high that Disney had to invest the money, or else somebody else would have. So it's not that the Disney bet on J.K. Rowling. It's because J.K. Rowling had the success, so Disney said, "Okay, we're going to create all these movies and we're going to do all this magic." So that's the point I want authors to understand, especially in fiction, is you have to really get your audience excited about the characters that you're displaying in your fi and force and create a momentum for them and make it easy for them to promote that community to other people.
So you make the characters accessible and you share out the magic of your characters, whether it is contemporary fiction or a fantasy world or a horror genre. I can just see now how our authors could really start to shape these kind of conversations and character development. And because what did you connect with Harry Potter? Was it the world or was it Harry, Ron, Hermione? What was your thing? Was it the world or the characters?
I was, that's a good question. Honestly, it's a mix of both, but if I had to pick one, probably the world
The
of
world.
Hogwarts. It was so fascinating the way she described it in the books.
So you wanted a letter. You wanted a letter. You wanted to go to Hogwarts. You wanted to ride the train.
Oh,
You
yeah, I mean,
wanted
who
that.
wouldn't?
Yeah, you wanted all of that. Okay. Because mine was character. I just loved Hermione. I really connected with her characters. And so we are approaching things in different ways. So when we know that about a fiction readers, that means that we can't just split it and only try to do character. We also have to invite them into our world, or we have to invite them in. Oh, my picture fell. I guess that was like, yes, I agree. See, my whole table's excited. So to me, it's inviting them into your whole space as a author, inviting them into the world, the character development, and just saying, come on in, let's have these conversations about the books because this is a part of our life and we want to extend that out. And so for those introverted people who are so shy, who take such demand for this, we've talked about the mindset. You've given us some tips. What's like a famous last line you would like to leave with them as they are venturing out, whether it's their nonfiction or their fiction worlds, to try to make communication progress? I'm gonna call it their progress.
Yeah, for me, it's always about creating that urgency, Jen. So for me, the advice is always spend as much time and effort and sweat and tears as you put into writing the book as you do promoting the book. And if we compare both of those time spent, it is not good. Like you have, oh, I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours writing the book, editing the book, getting a publisher. And then you look at the time you spent promoting the book, and it's a little embarrassing. Right?
But is
See,
it fear? Is it fear? Is it fear? What do you think? What I
I think it depends on the person, but fear is one of them. But the other piece that I think is more important than the fear is I feel authors don't talk enough in person, right? In person with the people that are impacted by their books. Let me give you a personal example. Why am I so passionate about master talk and communication? Which is weird, right? For some guy in his 20s to be passionate about, like, I have a YouTube job, public speaking tips. And I'm not saying that's wrong or anything. It's just an interesting passion because a lot of people don't really have a passion for speaking, especially this young. So why is that? Why am I so gung-ho? It's because I know those 15-year-old girls. You know, and I was younger and I was coaching them. They would always cry in rooms, not because of me, because they were so scared of communication. And I always thought to myself, like, what if I never did this? Like, what if I never showed up for these little girls or boys who are really scared of communication? Because the education system kind of told them that communication is a chore and you're going to get punished if you don't do a great job. And a lot of us still have that as kids, as we grow into adults. That really pushed me to say, I need to do really well. I can't just sit back and create YouTube videos. I need to show up on the podcast too. I need to share the information because Jen still doesn't know who I am. So if I don't reach out to Jen, if I don't show Jen, she can't teach her community how to communicate more effectively, and they won't be able to share their work with the world, right? So there's a deep burning desire in my soul to keep pushing. Right, the promotion side, because now the videos are there. Like, it's not a question about quality anymore. Now it's more about I got to keep pushing the videos out. So, for the author that's listening to this, Jen, the advice is really, and it's simple, it's just nobody does it. Your biggest fan, the person who's texting you, and it's not 70,000 people right now, it's the seven people who go, Jen, you won't believe how great this book is. I encourage you to meet them in person. Get to know them more. And it's those conversations that makes you go, wow. Like, wouldn't have it sucked if only seven people read the Harry Potter series? It would have been a disservice to humanity. I think 7 million people should read, or 70 million, and you should feel the same about your book as you have more of those conversations.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. And I'm just so grateful that we've had this opportunity to sit together and share these just wonderful golden nuggets, these quick wins, however you would like to frame these. But it's all about the mindset. It's about planning, because when you're talking about I've written so many notes. Guys, if you haven't taken 3 pages of notes, that means you just got to watch this again, because this is one that you've got to watch again and again, because I think you're going to layer and learn as you re-listen. Because the QIT, like, that's for nonfiction, that's for fiction. I can see that as you're developing your content. Like, absolutely love everything that you've shared here today. And I'm just so thankful that you are here, and come back, because we need to have more of these kind of conversations, because now our authors and our community can now go out and share on this video with one person or seven people. Seven's my lucky number. Let's say we want you to share this with seven more people so they will get to know Brandon. Brandon, tell people how they can connect with you.
Absolutely, Jen. Such a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me. So, two ways to keep in touch. The first one is the YouTube channel. Just type Master Talk in one word. You'll have access to hundreds of free videos on how to speak for free. And the second way to keep in touch is I do a live communication workshop that anyone can attend over Zoom that I facilitate. So, if you want to jump on that call, everyone's invited to the party, and it's rockstarcommunicator.com.
There we go. See, now we have got the way to continue this work. I've got it all written down. I'm going to add it into the description of this video. And Brendan, thank you so much again for being here. I hope that you guys reach out to Brendan. I hope that this has been an inspiration for you and for those of you out there who are saying, "Ah, oh, but Jen, what are you asking of me?" Yes, we're asking it of you because your story matters, your message matters, and it's really important that you get out there and not promote the book. We won't say promote the book, but we will say share your story because you've put so much hard work, like you said. Hours and hours and years into crafting and developing your story. It's time to share it. So this challenge is on now. So thank you so much, Brendan, and I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thanks, Jen.